Welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers, episode 77. Tom, top of the morning to you is usually what I say, isn't it?
Something like that. A mildly racist overture. Co-opting of another culture. Love it.
It's very important to put on a really bad accent and then say, oh, potatoes.
Fiddly D.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, what a week it's been. We've had so much Game of Thronesness, which we won't talk about because we have already spoken about it. The podcast is already out. We've been doing special Game of Thrones episodes. If you want to catch them, make sure you check our feed. Hit subscribe and then you'll know it's there.
Pop them in your ear holes.
Yeah, we had a good one. I liked PK. He had some really good theories. Mm.
There's only 2 weeks left to send me a raven. After that, I will finally stop accepting ravens.
Eventually, it's going to happen to you.
One day.
You've got a lot of news.
So much news.
I think maybe you might just have to be the newsman.
Yeah, today I've done a bit of watching. If we get to that, great. But boy, oh boy, I've got a lot of news to tell you.
Which is why I've only got two, and I suspect you've probably got one of them anyway. So Ooh. Why don't you rattle on in?
All right, we're going to kick off with some shows that are coming back or have been announced. Mm-hmm. Then after that, I've got some pilot season stuff of stuff that is coming along further, and then some other cool news as well.
Nice.
All right, so diving straight in. First up, Fantastic Beasts 3. Doesn't have a title, but it's confirmed that it's going to be coming out in November 2021.
Fantastic.
So that's... It is fantastic. That's 2 years away for Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, part 3. Mm. We knew they were going to do it. They've said there'll be 5. The last one wasn't great, so hopefully it's a step up.
You think about some second seasons of TV shows, they're not always great. I mean, I'm just immediately thinking of The Walking Dead. It wasn't a great season, and they definitely went better after that. So yeah, have faith.
Fingers crossed. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming back for season 10, May 10th.
I can't believe it's been around for that long.
I don't think people involved with it believe that it's been around
that long.
They're
just happy to be there.
Yeah. Every season pretty much finishes up with something that could be the wrapping of the series, and then they come back for some more.
So they've got to unwrap it a little bit.
That's right. We know Coulson is a bad guy. We know that it's not dealing with the events of Avengers Endgame particularly much.
Which is nice.
Yes.
It's nice to have two different sort of storylines going on.
That's right. And I believe this may be the last season, a shortened season, but I've said that in the past.
Yeah, so I've we'll heard see. You say it. Yeah.
Exactly. We'll see. Ghost Rider and Hellstrom are two new shows that have been announced for Hulu. They're both Marvel shows. These are both characters, so they'll be coming along potentially later this year, but more likely early next.
Intriguing. Ghost Rider out there.
Yes, it is very intriguing is the right word because Hulu, if you're expecting Disney to be making new shows for Marvel, that they'd be going on Disney Plus. However, they've got such a huge ownership of Hulu and they're looking to get more. It makes sense that they're shows that would be a little more adult in content. Mm. Keep them over on Hulu.
Well, Hulu's got Handmaid's Tale, so that to me sort of sets the tone for what kind of programs they will be looking to fill Hulu with.
And that makes a lot of sense for these two characters. Ghost Rider has had 2 films with Nicolas Cage. However, this iteration of Ghost Rider is one that was actually on half a season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Interesting.
And it's the same actor coming back to continue the role, but for a different network and everything. It's very strange.
Fans are going to like it.
I think that's pretty cool. And the other one, Hellstrom, is going to be following Damien, and I believe it's Santana, but it may be a different daughter, but it's two children that are the offspring, half-human offspring of one of the Lords of Hell.
Hence the name Hellstrom.
Yes.
And there's no Adam Sandler in there, right?
No, okay. No, it's not a little Nicky-style thing. They are very aristocratic, and they very much fall into the category of anti-hero. We've seen them be villainous plenty of times. We've seen them help plenty of times.
Almost got a bit of a vampire vibe to it.
Yeah, there's a little bit
respect.
A little bit of vampireness in there, and also a little bit of Van Helsing.
Oh yeah,
They help to send things back down below,
putting things in their places.
That's right. Cobra Kai has been renewed for season 3 over on YouTube. This, of course, is the series that continues the antics and exploits of the Karate Kid films. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. YouTube's doing some good stuff. In fact, they've got another news story. They've announced that they're partnering on some piece of content with Justin Bieber this year. They've not said what, but it makes a lot of sense because Bieber owes everything to YouTube. That's where he got his start. That's where Scooter Braun found him. Pretty normal for a 20-year-old media guy to be scanning 13-year-old music videos.
Absolutely. And I reckon having him do it, because the last time he had an album out was probably a couple of years ago,
it's
right?
It's been a while.
So he's probably doing a new album. So if it was a doco sort of series where they sort of went behind the scenes of his life, mainly his working life, I think that could really work. Even for people who are casual fans or just vaguely interested in how even music is done, would watch that.
Yeah.
I'd probably check in on an episode.
It might be that. It could, on the flip side, be some sort of heavily scripted content or a reality show about his life with Hayley Baldwin.
Like Newlyweds. There was that rumour that was going to be a thing.
Yes. Mm. So we don't know where that idea ended up. Joining some
maybe
dots.
On YouTube.
The only Dharma staff with the initiative to plug the hole in the island. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Suits, their final season, season 9. Whew, didn't know they were going that long. It's kicking off on July 10th with 10 episodes. This is the final season. I know plenty of people who love Suits.
I know plenty of people who, as soon as they got Netflix, they binged Suits, and then towards the end of whatever season, maybe about season 5, they got sick of it but continued on anyway. So I reckon people knowing that this is the final one will pick it back up again.
Yeah. Yeah, I reckon so. Especially because they've, that night that it starts, they've announced that there's a spin-off show starting that very evening, which follows Gina Torres's character. Sorry, Gia Torres, her character, Jessica Pearson. The show is called Pearson. She was disbarred because of the events on the show on Suits, and now she's moved to Chicago and she's serving as a fixer for the new mayor.
I really hope it's not like Joey, as in Friends spin-off Joey. I hope it's got a little more to it than that.
I didn't mind Joey.
You didn't? We've had this conversation before, I remember.
We have.
The thing I remember about Joey is I missed the other five characters.
Of course, and they should have popped up at some point.
Yeah. Speaking of Friends, I saw that in the US they've started up again Who Do You Think You Are. I love that show.
Sure.
Doco, where they have a look at a famous person, go back and have a look at their ancestors. It's returning to NBC. It used to be on NBC years ago, then went to TLC. And then I think it stopped, and now it started again back on NBC. I didn't know, but one of the executive producers is Lisa Kudrow, so we might end up seeing a few ex-Friends cast.
There you go.
There. That'd be interesting.
I'd be interested in Paul Rudd.
Yeah, Paul Rudd.
I want to see where he got that elixir of life. Surely we should see some of his ancestors to see how well they hold up.
What if they look exactly like him?
Oh.
He's a vampire.
Yeah, maybe... There's no pictures of his father because any pictures of his father is him.
Spooky.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'd check that out.
Me too. I've always been a fan of that. It didn't matter if it was English, American or Australian. It doesn't even matter if you really know the person. Some of the English people, I had no idea who they were, but I was still watching.
Sure.
It's just interesting.
Interesting stories.
What else did you find?
So Game of Thrones is nearly wrapped up.
Yeah.
And while having that discussion with people have been going, but when's Westworld back?
When is Westworld back?
Oh, next year.
Okay.
So not for a while. However, they announced this week that Vincent Castle is going to be joining as one of the villains.
Who's Vincent Castle?
Fantastic. I believe he's Italian. He used to be married to Monica Bellucci.
I thought you were saying Monica Lewinsky then.
No. He was, big name, been in lots of indie films, and you've seen him in
many films.
He
is now. Yeah, he's sort of...
A very chiseled face.
I don't know if he's
face.
Tall, but he looks thin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you've seen him as bad European in many, many films.
Yeah. So. He's almost got a bit of a French face.
Look, he was married to an Italian supermodel.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's definitely Italian. I can't remember.
You'll know if you know him, know enough to Google his name.
That's right. Let us know. A new show has been announced that I'm very excited about, and I think I told you about it, and you went, oh, that sounds good. It's called What Just Happened, and it's a fake after show.
Oh, this was definitely something I'm interested in.
Yeah, so it's a fake after show in the style of Talking Dead. It's hosted by Fred Savage, and it's behind the scenes on a fictional sci-fi show called The Flare.
I love this idea. Particularly because Fred Savage is in it. But the whole premise sounds fun.
It's got a lot of potential in there.
No one's done that yet.
No. No, not that I can think of. Yeah. So that'll be June 30.
Cool.
Behind the scenes after show on a show that doesn't exist. Yeah, that's pretty meta.
It is.
Their plastic surgeon doesn't want them doing any activity where balls fly at their nose. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
If you've been missing Batman...
Everybody misses Batman, right?
With Ben Affleck out, they've got to go new. And, of course, we've heard all sorts of rumours. There are a lot of people, John Hamm. It's got to be John Hamm. Very strong about that opinion, a lot of people say.
What it's kind of like the, not Luther, what's his name? Idris Elba with Bond. Got to be Idris.
I would have loved Idris Elba even 5 years ago, but now pushing it a bit. Anyway, apparently they've noticed how well Tom Holland has slipped into the shoes of Spider-Man. And they're very aware of the fact that with him being so young, there's a potential for him to play that role for a long, long time.
Mm.
So they want to switch things up and go younger with Batman.
Hello.
The two names, we'd been hearing Robert Pattinson, obviously, from
Twilight.
Twilight,
yeah.
And Harry Potter.
Yep. And that's about it.
He's done some really
great
stuff.
He has done other stuff, but
fantastic
not.
Fantastic indie gear.
Not like, oh, this is another franchise.
No, he made all the money he needs. So he doesn't need to do these big things again. So a lot of people have been banding his name around. Yeah, that's potentially kind of cool. The two names that were thrown around this week, I think both pretty interesting. One is Aaron Taylor Johnson, who he played Quicksilver in Avengers Age of Ultron, the speedy guy.
Oh, yeah.
He was Kick-Ass in the Kick-Ass movie.
Yeah.
Godzilla. He's been in a bunch of stuff. And
he's got a bit of a pedigree going on there.
He does. And he's when he's given good material, he's very, very impressive.
Mm.
So I think he could be great. The other one that made me go, oh, that's good, Nicholas Hoult.
Yes.
Beast from the most recent X-Men movies, formerly of Skins as Tony.
That's where I first... Actually, no, I think I first knew him as...
The little boy.
Yeah, with Hugh Grant in it. Yeah.
Him as Batman could be pretty damn cool.
I like him.
I like him a lot.
As an actor.
There's a film called Warm Bodies, which is a rom-com from a few years ago.
It sounds ridiculous, but it works so well.
He was so good in that.
I'm pretty sure, I mean, apart from the story's fun, but he made it, I think.
I don't think, he carried it. I don't think it would have worked as well without some of the interesting acting choices he made.
Agreed.
And directions he took that character in.
He managed to make it likable. And it, I mean, a zombie.
And a role that prevented him using many of the usual actor's skills by being the nature of the role. And then likewise, you've got the X-Men films where for some of them he's buried under mountains of prosthetics and hair and all this sort of stuff and still able to clearly convey. So I can see him being behind the cowl and the eyes doing a lot
and
of the heavy lifting.
And still being able to convey a whole heap. Oh, he'd be a great pick.
So I think we're still a way off hearing anything.
Yeah.
Because they don't need to rush back into Batman. They can take their time a little bit with that.
Same with Superman, really.
Oh, I'm happy to take a while off Superman.
Yeah.
I don't care for Superman. He's an alien. How do I connect to that? It's not relatable.
Fair enough.
He's masquerading as a man.
Speaking of masquerading as a man, I am intrigued to see how this Witcher, the Geralt of Rivia, turns out for Netflix. That'll be interesting.
Well, he seems pretty on board.
Yeah.
It seems that they want to keep making him. He'll keep coming back.
Good stories.
Do you reckon when
the World of Witcher?
Do you reckon downtime between shooting, he plays Gwent?
I hope he does. He mixes it up between working out and Gwenting.
Because there's a Gwent app.
Yeah.
Just banging on the app.
I loved Gwent in the game. Mm. It was kind of like, I can't remember. I'm just going to say insert any GTA into what I'm about to say. But sometimes I used to go into GTA and just play pool or something. Just go into a bar and play pool.
Sure, I completely respect.
It's that kind of thing. You just go into Witcher just to play Gwent.
I once on GTA 4 went into the comedy club and sat down for an hour to watch the Ricky Gervais live special that they'd recorded for GTA.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, GTA.
It's great.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Did you see that The Walking Dead tweeted a photograph of like the little clicker board? that said Walking Dead Season 10 has started, like, production.
I didn't see that, but I saw one that Norman Reedus posted of Daryl and Carol's chairs sitting next to each other.
Besties.
Interesting, considering Ezekiel asked him to take a walk. He's chosen not to. He's pulled his chair in closer.
Way closer. Ezekiel's nowhere to be seen.
The actors weren't anywhere to be seen, but we might not see too much of Ezekiel for a bit. I don't know. He might disappear into the background a little bit, unless they're going to have him dealing with his grief, which...
Characters deal with their grief all the time in there, so it has to be an interesting different way.
So, yes, they've started production. I imagine that the show will come back probably around October, late October.
That's about the time it comes back, yeah.
About Halloween-y.
We've got Fear the Walking Dead coming back in June.
Yes.
So... lot going on in June.
Back at it.
Yeah. Never ends.
One that has me very excited. So there's a particular genre of film that I love. It doesn't get a lot of play these days, which is the hidden camera movie. I love Jackass. Those movies are great. Like, the TV show is fantastic, don't get me wrong. But the way Jackass 3 starts with that oversized shopping cart and they've got rockets strapped to it and they're shooting themselves down a hill in San Francisco is the pinnacle for me of stupid comedy.
Yeah.
I adore those guys. Anyway.
Oh, I used to watch them all the time. I think everybody did.
Yes. Now, I've banged on about a guy called Eric Andre many times. Uh-huh. He has the Eric Andre Show and he's very in-your-face comedy. He has a hidden camera movie coming out starring himself and Lil Ray Howery, who was the TSA agent in Get Out.
Oh, yeah.
The guy on the couch telling him to leave.
Yep.
The two of them are in a hidden camera movie crossing the country. It's the first hidden camera movie to come out in cinema since 2013. That was Bad Grandpa, which was Johnny Knoxville and all the prosthetic.
Yep.
This film is executive produced and everything by Birdhouse Pictures, which is Jeff Tremaine, the creator of Jackass.
Oh, yep.
This is his production company.
Yeah, right.
So it's got all the right people's fingers in the right pies. That
amazing.
Doesn't sound right. all the people that I would want working on a hidden camera movie that have the right pedigree are involved with this. So I have very, very high hopes.
You'll have to wait for the trailer.
Oh, I'm psyched.
Yeah.
And they've kept it pretty cool and pretty quiet. But the fact that it's called Bad Trip has me pretty excited for what this guy's going to do.
Yeah, I think there's going to, as long as they've got one or two super inappropriate moments in it that just make you laugh because they're so incredibly inappropriate, then they're laughing. Like, that'll be a success.
There will be inappropriateness, but there's also going to be some really, really weird shit that the public gets pulled on them that they don't have context for. Earlier this year, Eric Andre had a half-hour special on Adult Swim. He was entirely in character as one of his creations, Kraft Punk, who is... a Daft Punk lookalike that's obsessed with sliced cheese.
Oh, who isn't?
Kraft Punk.
Just a quick side note. I remember growing up, I had this old cat. She was super old. I'm talking like 1920, that kind of
age.
How
old is that cat?
I know, he's so old. She was a Persian and she spent most of her time just growling.
Right.
Probably because she's just old and cranky. Anyway, the only time you would ever get her to meow in a nice, sweet way is if she came across you with like the Kraft cheese.
Okay.
And then she'd go, and you go, probably shouldn't give cats... such processed cheese, but man, you're 19. I don't think a bit of cheese is going to kill you.
Anyway, you slice it, she's happy after that.
Very good.
Thank you.
Hey, Mary. Something about that makes me think it's not actually hair gel. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Here's one that you'll be happy about.
Yes.
So you and I, we like to keep abreast of housing and locations from films and movies for sale.
I do like that. I don't know why I find it so fascinating, but I do.
Full House.
Yeah.
San Francisco. Iconic. It's on sale. It's used in the original show and the remake and the new one.
We know that house is in a part of San Francisco that's pretty, like, it's nice, right? And we know that San Francisco has extremely high real estate prices.
And you remember, that's not the biggest house.
No, it's not.
It's a family house.
It's like a terrace kind of thing. Yeah.
$5.995 million is their asking price.
I was not expecting you to say that much.
Uh-huh.
That is stupid.
That's a lot of money.
Do you reckon if you were the house on either side, you'd I mean, you probably wouldn't be, you wouldn't be able to ask for that much, but I reckon you'd still be able to ask for quite a fair bit. Maybe you'd be able to ask for about four.
Yeah, it'd help.
Because it's got location in there as well.
Do you reckon Kimmy still lives in one of those houses?
If Kimmy does, then they could ask for seven easily.
That's what I mean. If she's going to come over all the time, that's going to affect your pricing.
Good or bad.
It's very expensive.
That I wasn't.
Blown away.
Not worth.
No. And then final one in the newsy news, and talking about very expensive, just a little touch base on Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
Now, obviously, the facts and figures I'm giving now are about more than 12 hours old now. I apologize for that. I do have to sleep at some point because every time I go to sleep, I wake back up and it's taken over another movie in the race to
the
top ever.
What's it taken over now?
Last time I checked, it was at 2.189 million, which is now beating Titanic.
Oh, a billion, you mean, not million.
Sorry, billion, yeah. 2.189 billion, meaning it's ahead of Titanic in, that was at 12.8 days of release.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, at the same time, believable.
Mm-hmm. So Avatar is the only one for it left to take down. Avatar is at 2.8 billion.
Are they going to get there?
Well, I think they'll get there.
Yeah.
No sweat. But industry analysts are still like, oh, I don't know, might fall short. Because in worldwide cumulatively, it'll probably pip that 2.8, but it may not beat their domestic box office, which is something that Americans get very, very caught up in on, like, well,
USA, USA.
It's where a lot of their marketing budget is set and all this sort of stuff, so it's often a very good determiner for a quality of film and the legs it's got.
Mm.
And because of the event nature of this film and you wanted to see it before you got spoiled, there's some people who predict it may drop off quicker than expected, but I think they're idiots because it's still making Monday on day 11 of its release or something. It was still made like $145 million worldwide.
It's one of those movies people are going to watch several times at the movies.
Well, that $145 million it made in a day, maybe 30 films a year break that for their entire run. And that's what it made in a day on after being out for a week and a half. So who knows how far this thing will go.
Now you've just got me thinking about how much Robert Downey Jr. is going to make out of this one movie.
I believe he made $75 million off Infinity War.
Oh, my gosh.
And Hemsworth and Evans both made 15. Downey gets so much more because his deal is around percentage rather than flat fee.
He'd be laughing with this one then.
Yeah. He'd just drive back a money truck up to his house.
And he'd be like, look, just put it over there. But that's the rose bush. I know, I can't. There's nowhere else for you. Just put it there.
I can't believe people are going like, what's next for Robert Downey Jr.?
He doesn't need to do anything.
He doesn't need a next.
He'll do something really different.
What I'm hoping, he's a huge proponent in the field of robotics, specifically limb replacement robotics. If he just dedicates himself to that, I'm really cool with that. He funds prosthetics for children.
Oh, right.
I mean, like, he plays a hero on screen, but that's a pretty damn heroic thing to do.
That is heroic. Yeah. Probably be able to fund quite a few prosthetics
with
the amount he's going to make from this movie.
I don't think you'd have to go out on a limb to predict that.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
And with that, that's enough news, but that's newsy news. Now, I've had my big magnifying glass out. I've been solving the mysteries. You can call me Sherlock.
I will, if that's all right.
Please do, and pronounce it properly.
Sherlock, what have you been finding?
Oh, well, it's that season at the moment where some pilots are going ahead, some pilots hopefully jumping to full series and this sort of stuff, but it's not quite at the point of presentations. So the stuff I'm hearing and the stuff I'm reading is mainly just log lines or not even descriptions of plot. It's just here are some people involved.
Okay.
So some of these may be for September later this year. Some of these may not be till September next year.
Right.
But here's a few of the ones.
As long as there's something I can get hyped about, I'm happy.
I've gone through about 85 different shows. Pulled out not even 10 of the ones that I think sound interesting, or there could be some element there. So ABC have a drama called Stumptown. It's about a private investigator. It's starring Colby Smulders from How I Met Your Mother, Maria Hill in the Avengers movies.
That show I really liked, Friends from College.
Sure, and she's married to Taron Killam, formerly of Saturday Night Live, now of Single Parents.
Okay.
She's connected.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But
she also doesn't age.
She doesn't. It's odd.
It is, isn't it?
She rocks a lot of different hairstyles.
Maybe that's the trick.
Another ABC show. So Blackish has, I think it's on their sixth season, maybe even more.
That's a fair bit.
Anthony Anderson, Lawrence Fishburne.
Yep.
They're having a spin-off called Mixed-ish.
Okay. Is that all we know about it?
I don't know too much about Black-ish. I haven't caught too much. So I'm not some character from that show is spinning off.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
That show does very, very well for them.
It's well in their interest to give this one a burl.
Nice podcast. They make them for men.
CBS has a drama simply called Evil, which I doubt it will end up going to air with the name Evil because many, many things have been called that before. However, it is from Robert and Michelle King, who are the creators of Good Wife and The Good Fight.
Okay. So some good stuff. Good. If they're going evil and that's the kind of pedigree that they have worked on before.
Yes.
I'm assuming it's not a horror thing. It's probably more a drama where evil people are there.
Maybe it's a How to Get Away with Murder or a Killing Eve style examination. Some dark, conflicted characters.
Those there things are working, so you might as well give them a crack.
There's another drama over on Fox this time. It's called Prodigal Son, starring Tom Payne.
Oh, yeah.
And Michael Sheen.
Okay.
That's a combo I'm on board with.
Yeah, Michael Sheen for sure.
So Tom Payne, for those of you who don't know, you do know, he's Jesus
from
Walking Dead.
And you know him.
You wouldn't know him from anywhere else probably.
He's cut his hair, maybe this is why.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's just sick of walking around with long hair.
And then Michael Sheen, who does not love Michael Sheen, personally without a pulse? I'm so excited to see Good Omens come up soon.
Yeah,
I don't think he's still with it, but he was quite serious with Sarah Silverman for a while there.
Who else? He was with someone else, another actress. I can't remember. As soon as we finish recording this, I'm going to realise who it was and go,
Michael Sheen.
Shout it at your phone now, because you know that we know.
John Lithgow.
It wasn't John Lithgow.
No?
Don't be silly.
All right. Sorry, I've taken it too far. Sticking with Fox, they've got a drama around AI called Next, but it's spelled N-E capital X capital T.
Okay.
Which is not a way to instill hope in me and that there's going to be a quality product. However, yeah, it's got Next starring John Slattery from Mad Men, who we saw recently as Tony Stark's father.
Oh, yeah. He's been in Sex and the City. He was the mayor.
Yes.
Rachel McAdams.
Oh, Rachel McAdams.
That was who Michael Sheen went out with.
Michael Sheen,
yeah,
doggy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it was bugging me. I had to Google that one.
Clearly has a type of funny ladies.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, he's in everything. What's his name
John
again?
John Slattery. He's a hard-working man.
I feel like he's been grey or white for so many years that in your head he's probably older than he actually is.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably only mid-50s, if that. Yes. I don't know. It's been a while since it hasn't been a while since I saw him. I saw him in Endgame. But You couldn't see him properly.
And they'd done a lot of digital trickery.
They did stuff, yeah.
Final one from Fox. They've got a comedy coming called Geniuses. It stars Maggie Lawson, who was the main girl on Psych for many years.
Oh, yeah.
And has popped up in plenty of other things. She did a show, I think, called Angel or something a few years ago with Jane Lynch, where Jane Lynch was possibly a guardian angel, possibly an escaped psychiatric
Which
patient.
One? Either way, it's fun guessing, right?
That's right. This show, Genius, is following a blue-collar family that happened to have three of their four children as geniuses.
And one isn't, and that's the black sheep?
I don't know. I would say if this show was on ABC, we would be following the non-genius. But because this is Fox, we'll be following the middle child.
Ah, the Jan Brady of the situation.
Yep.
Okay.
Or the Malcolm, if you will. Yeah, this is Malcolm in the middle.
Yeah.
I believe that this is what they're trying to... Because if you look back on Malcolm in the Middle, they realised pretty early on that they were going to make Dewey a genius as well.
Mm-hmm.
They seed all this stuff through there and everything. So I don't know. I think that could be quite good. I find her very funny.
Me too. We'll
see what happens with that one.
Well, and the final, got legs.
The final one. This is the one. This is the
this
one.
This is the one. This is it.
This is the one that for most people go, but for me goes, yeah.
Ooh, I'm wondering what sound effect I'll make.
So it's an NBC workplace comedy.
Right.
We know they do that well. The Office.
30 Rock.
30 Rock. Now they've got Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yep.
All these shows they do very, very well. It's a workplace comedy called Like Magic. It's from the creators of Superstore, which I don't know if you've... I don't think we've really discussed too much, but it follows a team of people who run... who work in like a Costco-type place.
Wasn't there a movie with Jennifer Aniston in it that was set in a similar sort of place? Oh, I feel like, I can't remember what it was called. It was kind of like one of those Costco things, or maybe it was just a supermarket. I'm really reaching. I'm grasping at my memory because I don't even think I saw the movie.
I think so. I always just think of her in Office Space where she wears the
horrible
flare.
Bosses. Mm, another good
horrible
one.
Horrible bosses, yeah. But this show is going to be set at the Magic Castle, which is the most prestigious place in magic. It's based in LA.
Yep.
It's generally invite only. It is a magician's club for magicians.
So how are they doing this?
I haven't got full confirmation. I would be willing to bet that I will eat my hat if Neil Patrick Harris is not involved in the production of this, because he is the head of the Magic Castle.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's very, very prominent. He's the most prominent magician who's not like a Penn and Teller or a dedicated magician. He's got the crossover appeal with Hollywood.
Yeah.
I think he's got to be involved in this.
And Broadway as well, so we may even get some songs. Potentially.
But just workplace comedy of someone who's studying to be a magician around other great magicians has me very hopeful for the quality of guest stars that they'll be able to get on. And anytime if the comedy starts dipping, they can just have someone come out and do awesome magic.
Awesome magic. That's a good point.
Do you know what I mean?
They've got backups.
That's it. They've got impressive. Two very different levers that they can pull for quality entertainment in one show.
Mm.
Yeah.
There's some good pilots going on.
Oh.
Acme's number two customers, right behind Wile E. Coyote. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Should we just quickly knock out these trailers?
Yeah, because there's
I need
been a couple
nap.
Of good ones.
I need a nap. There's been a couple of good ones, and there's also been one that was not great. Did you see the trailer for Sonic the Hedgehog?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I say
I did.
Sonic the Hedgehog because that's not Sonic. In fact, so many people said that's not Sonic that the director had to come out and go, "We've heard you. We're going to go back to the drawing board and redo the animation." I don't think we can fathom just how expensive that's going to be for the studio.
Because there's a problem with the arms or the legs or something like that. I can't remember.
So they've anthropomorphized him. They've made him much more human-like. He's got human-length legs and arms. The whole point was that he is always just like a gigantic head with a tiny body and stumpy arms and legs.
Yeah.
He fought, you know,
that's how he spins.
That's right. And it looks awful, and I couldn't stop staring at Sanic's butt and all this sort of stuff.
What do you think about Jim Carrey, though? Really? Because I thought he might have been the redeeming quality there. He brought a lot of Jim Carrey, but in the beginning he didn't look like Dr. Robotnik, but then they show him later in the trailer, which they called a teaser, by the way, but it was like 2.5 minutes long. But then he was a little more Robotnik.
Maybe that's the sting, the teaser sting at the end of the credits. They're going to hold off on making him go full Robotnik. Jim Carrey could have a lot of fun. That'd be great. I am hoping against hope, and I don't know if I said this on the show, but I'm very I don't care who knows it. Yogi Bear 3D from like 10 years ago or something is a great movie. It's not. It's terrible. But I had a ton of fun with it, and every single person in that commits to it completely. Tom Cavanaugh and...
what's his face? I watched him.
TJ Miller as the two Rangers. Are fantastic, and they both play it straight. And they don't go too hammy in the style of Jim Carrey looks like he was doing with Robotnik.
You got to let Jim Carrey do that himself.
That's just it.
Yeah.
If he goes full on The Mask.
Yeah, which I kind of hope.
Ace Ventura, this will be amazing.
Yeah.
But if he goes the other way and it feels like modern day Adam Sandler, the movie's going to suck.
But I'm excited that James Marsden's in it and seems to have a pretty big role. I mean, he's Westworld.
Oh, he's...
he's a lot of stuff.
He's Enchanted.
Yeah, he is too.
Yeah.
Ages ago.
And he's Cyclops in the original X-Men movies. And he was on this another episode of this week's Star Talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson discussing AI in Westworld.
I think he's older than he looks.
He is. He's a Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
He's significantly older than he looks.
He needs to be spoken to about that.
Come on, have a word. So anyway, Sonic the Hedgehog is expected later in the year. Now that they've got to do all this stuff, it may be a little bit longer.
Could
be
pushed back a bit.
Mm, all right. It could be a bit of fun. There was a trailer for a action, maybe horror movie that had me quite interested. I've been following for a while called Crawl. Did you say anything about this?
No, it sounds creepy.
Very good assumption. There's a hurricane that hits. Yeah. Town has been told you need to move out. Everyone's going to get flooded. Young lady goes back to her home to try and help her father out, discovers that he is pinned underneath the house near one of the crawl spaces. As the house starts flooding, and giant gators get in.
Oh, okay. At first I thought it was going to be something about creepy crawlies. Then I thought it was going to be like a really confined, really claustrophobic sort of show and then a movie. And then you said gators and I went, oh.
It does look very claustrophobic.
Taking me everywhere.
It's like dealing, imagine dealing with gators when you're locked in your cellar on having to escape through crawl spaces or air conditioning vents.
It's kind of like that Fear the Walking Dead episode where Alicia is with that kid that she hates. Mm,
it looks like it's got some fun potential. I love any crocodile movie or gator movie. The trashier, the better. Mm. I've seen many, many of them that...
You want a Sharknado type of...
Oh, do not, no. No, no, no.
No,
Sharknado is
far?
Making fun of that genre.
Yep.
It's too tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, you don't want it that far?
I want a Lake okay. Placid.
Oh,
which
right,
will
okay.
make some jokes, but the crocodile is still a threat.
Okay, I get you.
It's not just a chance to spout off one-liners. There's yep. a fantastic Australian one called Rogue. Sam Worthington. It's very good. Check it out.
Sam Worthington?
Yeah. What's the Aussie guy from that we keep... He was on Walking Dead recently.
Oh, yeah.
Angus Sampson.
Yeah.
Angus pops up in it.
Of course he does.
There are a lot... John Jarrett. There are a lot of...
Oh, yes.
And that was just after Wolf Creek, the first Wolf
okay.
Creek.
Okay. If Bill Hunter was still alive, he would have been in it.
No, he's not. But okay. Yes.
Yeah, Bud Tingwell would have been in it too.
Yes.
Under the same situation.
So this is an American film, Crawl.
Uh-huh.
And it's been very interesting to follow because they intentionally misled us at certain points because all the original production notes were about that sharks got in.
They're tricksters.
That's it. So they've kind of thrown us off the scent.
What happens if you're a big shark fan and you're not that big on gators and then suddenly you find out gators not sharks?
Well, then you go and watch, there was an Australian movie about 10 years ago maybe, like, I think it's called High Tide or something like that, about a bunch of friends who get stuck in a supermarket during a storm and a great white gets flushed in.
And that's probably, if anybody from overseas watched it, that's probably why they've never come here.
Yeah.
People are convinced that sharks get you every time you go to the beach here. It's remarkable how many conversations you can have with people.
You're more likely to have a vending machine fall on you than you are, like, honestly, than to... You're more likely, I think, I read something like you're more likely to be stung by bees while being electrocuted
than getting eaten by a shark.
Getting eaten by a shark.
Okay.
So it's not a huge likelihood.
Well, you look, we're alive.
Oh, I'm still alive. and the final one. This
yes.
came out not long before we went to air.
Best for last. You saved it.
Did you watch the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer?
I sure did.
Boy.
I enjoyed the warning in the beginning.
That was very clever having Tom Holland, the man who spoils things, be like, guys, even for me, this is too spoilery.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Endgame... don't watch any further.
So it's difficult for us to talk about without spoilers for Endgame because that's a driving part
but
of
I
this.
But I think instead what we can say is he's dealing with a loss.
Correct. He's dealing with a loss and trying to move forward and part of that moving forward is going on a European vacation with his friends.
It's off to Venice.
Which looks like lovely fun but events transpire and someone interrupts and he's introduced to a new hero. And I'm not going to go into it in detail today but watch that trailer. And some things are said about that hero that could be mind-blowing.
Well, we can say who the hero is because we know who else is attached to the movie.
Sure. It's Mysterio, played by Jake Gyllenhaal.
Mm.
And he is a dude in a green suit with a dome head, like a fishbowl on his head.
But what you know of him from the comics is he potentially, there's more to him than...
Significantly so.
Okay.
Yes. The trailer definitely sets up that he may not be what he seems, that he may be from somewhere else and this sort of stuff. And I think that he may not be from where they say he is and he's very tricksy.
Okay.
If you like Loki, you probably really like this guy.
Oh, okay. A lot of people like Loki, so this
Correct.
Has probably got people quite hyped. I was interested to see how Venice was under attack by things, and I just immediately thought Venetians and Italians are not going to be happy about that.
No. No, they're being attacked by three creatures that are being referred to as the elementals. One of them is Molten Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure you can guess which one he is, the lava guy. Hydro Man, yep. Obviously the water guy. And we haven't seen – I don't think he appeared in this trailer, but he did the last – someone that looks like he could be Sandman.
Do you think that if Spider-Man has trouble with this and there's no one else to help in the Marvel Universe, could they look up Captain Planet?
Well, I don't know about Captain Planet, but considering they're in Europe, I could see them looking up Captain Britain and finding a very good opportunity to begin start introducing the UK heroes.
Oh my gosh.
So I want Captain Britain to happen, because once Captain Britain happens, they can start working down their list and they'll get to a guy named Pete Wisdom, who is head of MI13, which is, if you imagine James Bond,
yep,
mixed with Mulder.
Yes.
Mixed with disgruntled Gen X mid-90s raver, but in a full suit with goth hair. He throws psionic knives so he can, like, inflict his thoughts into other people's minds and this sort of stuff. And he is a surly, pissed-off bastard. And he heads up this team of UK heroes.
This has got to be a TV series.
I just desperately...
This involves a series, not a movie.
Yep. I want Pete Wisdom to happen, because if you have Pete Wisdom and Captain Britain, then you can get Excalibur. And then you've got a completely different mythology to play with.
Okay.
You know, they have a lot of fun with the Norse mythology with Thor.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to introduce the ideas of, like, Albion and
yep.
the Round Table
yep,
and
yep.
all the, you know, Merlin. Merlin's still knocking around.
Oh, gosh.
Get some of that going. Introducing that in the Spider-Man movie is a long shot, but I can see them starting to seed some ideas. Braddock, the name, got mentioned in Endgame.
I didn't even notice that.
So Braddock is Captain Britain's last name. His sister is Psylocke from the X-Men. She has purple hair, played by Olivia Munn.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to be a connection there, blah,
okay.
blah, blah. But
I like her as an actress. She's quite good.
And they are Braddock is a big name in the Marvel Universe, so that was a tip-off, in the same way that Captain America, Winter Soldier, one of the bad guys, mentions Doctor Strange 3 years before the Doctor Strange film comes out. I could see them starting to seed ideas for UK teams now.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah.
And then once that that seeding becomes more prevalent, then we can start to guess who should be the characters.
Yeah.
Because that's always fun.
And it's not long at all until the film will be out early July.
Oh, that is really soon. No wonder they were waiting for Endgame.
Yeah.
That there's, you need to have watched Endgame
mm-hmm.
to watch this trailer. Exciting, though. Very exciting. Any other trailers?
No.
All right.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Well, look, I reckon two each.
Sure.
Really quickly, I watched Lego Masters.
How was
of that.
It?
Oh, it's really fun.
Yeah?
It's
You're
really
loving
fun.
It?
The only thing I probably would like more of is, and I know it's a competition, but a little bit less of the competition, and I'd like to focus more on what they're doing.
Sure, seeing their builds.
Yeah, I mean, there's only a certain amount that they can do with the amount of people that they've got. You can't sort of focus in too much, but fun. And Hamish is a great host.
Sure, and he's having a time of his life.
Oh, he's loving every second of it. Mm. Really good. What about you?
I caught Star Talk. I mentioned that James Marsden was on. The other episode this week was with Weird Al, and it was about some of the science around parody. And
that would have been really interesting.
It was very interesting because of the nature of my other job, not this,
yep.
I know an awful lot about parody and satire law in terms of commercial use.
Yep.
But I've never gotten much into the musical side of things.
And I know you're a big Weird Al fan, so that must have been interesting to watch him talk about his tools, how he goes about using everything.
And very open of the fact that math and science were his first love, and he thinks that's had a massive impact on his music career because he approaches many of his parodies in a scientific fashion of how do I take this idea and lampoon it in a way that matches that mold.
And music and maths are hand in hand.
Very much so. Yeah. So it was a very interesting episode. Again, if you've not caught Star Talk, go and find out, look on Netflix or around, find it, and just go through the list of who the celebrity aliens are, because there will be an episode that interests
and
you.
And pick them out.
And just work through that way.
This season seems to be very strong, though.
Yeah.
From what you've talked about so far.
Yeah.
really strong. I decided to check out the Christina Applegate Netflix program, Dead to Me.
Is that with one of my crushes, Linda Cardinale?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. From Freaks and Geeks. Yeah. They're both fantastic. I'd forgotten how likable Christina Applegate is on screen. She's so likable. And this, I'd say the episode's probably about half an hour long, something like that.
Okay.
And within the first 15 minutes of the first one, I think you get your first twist.
Okay.
Then the end of the first episode, you get another big twist, and then you just keep getting twists. And you realise that there's a lot of problems for a lot of people, yet they still manage to keep it quite lighthearted and fun, even though it is based in grief and losing people.
Okay.
It's really interesting and very bingeable. And if you haven't started watching it, definitely watch it. I know that Tidy, she said she's watched it all.
Give it a try.
It's really good. It's on Netflix, so give it a go.
Okay.
What about you?
Look, I finally got around this show that's been bugging me to watch for quite some time.
It happens, doesn't it?
It happens. It's called Detective Comrade.
Okay.
Yeah. It's it's very difficult to explain, but it's a Romanian cop show from the 80s, like an action cop show in the style of an American cop show, but...
But Romanian.
Romanian and made through a communist lens.
Okay.
And this show has been lost for 30-something years and never found, and it was discovered in some archives and brought to the States, and... they've redubbed it for American audiences and put it out. And the main detective is being dubbed by Channing Tatum. And the other detective is Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who you both know, they're very serious actors when they want to be, but they can also be funny. What this show doesn't tell you is that that's all a piss take. And Channing Tatum's the executive producer on the show, and they actually went to Romania and filmed this whole show
to make it look like 1980s.
Yeah. So it's all filmed and looks right, and it looks entirely like a detective show from that period, but very much in the style of a Starsky and Hutch, or like it looks perfectly like an American show, except it's in Romania and the dubbing doesn't match up. And they only make jokes sometimes. The rest of the time, it's a serious drama.
I am genuinely intrigued by this.
And the communism twist gives them carte blanche to do some really full-on things. So at one point, the two detectives are beating up some drug dealers, and they're like, why are you bringing this stuff into our country? We don't need it. We're not America. This isn't like the American government where they're trying to squash all the black people in Detroit.
Wow.
We don't need drugs here. What do you need them for? And the guy's like, I want to make money. And they're like, you don't need money. You have free healthcare. You're provided by the state. Like, it's very cleverly done in terms of it looks and feel like it looks exactly like what you've seen before.
Yeah.
But if you actually listen, it is against every single ideal that America had in the 80s.
This is so clever.
They'd take all these swings at Reagan and all this. Yeah. So Detective Comrade, weird.
I'm going to watch this because this is
your jam.
Yeah. I just like the quirkiness of the whole idea.
And the other characters are voiced by, you've got Nick Offerman. You've got Jason Manzuka, Derek
from Good Place.
There's a lot of big names. Jenny Slate.
I'd know her, wouldn't I?
You would know her nasalness for sure.
Okay, great.
Yep.
Fantastic. I'm popping that on my list right now.
Still hung up on Who Shot Mr. Burns? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I reckon that's going to do it for that because we've still got some listener questions to get into.
Oh, boy.
I know. Sam says, hi, guys.
Hi, Sam.
I'm taking a week off work basically to sit at home in front of the television and not leave the couch.
Uber.
There you go. That's a good suggestion. But he also wants to, hang on, I can't segue in and out of this sentence. I'm just going to have to read it.
Do
verbatim.
It.
Would you be able to give me full programs that I can binge once that have ended, so you can start to finish?
Oh.
So you got a week of TV.
And is this an ending that's satisfying? Because there's a difference between a good ending and a satisfying ending.
Mm. Or one where it's just ended.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it has to be a satisfying ending, right?
I will go with Adventure Time because there's more than 150 episodes of that. Most of them are only 11-minute episodes. And the ending of that is probably the most satisfying ending of a TV show of the last 5 years for me.
This one's not necessarily a proper ending because I know it was cancelled not long ago, but I was wondering how they were going to make a third season. So I'm kind of glad that it is two seasons, even though I'm going to miss the characters. But Friends from College with Fred Savage and Colby Smulder, that's really good. It's very bingeable, only two seasons. You laugh through it. And like I said, it would have been very messy if they had tried to continue it. So that's a good one. Another one, always a dependable one, is Mad Men, because that ends at a really nice ending and gives you a nice chunk of episodes to watch.
If you want to sit around and cry for a week, do 6 Feet Under.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
God, that ending.
Yeah, yeah. Give that one a go.
Beautiful ending. We'll destroy you. Yeah. You'll need another week off to recover.
I reckon that's enough.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sam. Also, if you want to send in questions or anything, suggestions, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. That's where Dimitri went and said, "Hello, Watchers. I recently sat down and rewatched Mallrats, which I remember thinking was great.
Snoochie Boochie.
Did not enjoy it at all. He found everyone obnoxious." He said, "Is there a movie that you loved first watch and then you watched it again and you hated it?" There's one I've watched three times over the years, and it's probably about as old as Mallrats. Actually, it might be a bit older. Reality Bites.
Yeah, sure.
That one I remember hating Ethan Hawke in the first one. Then the second time I watched it, I hated Ben Stiller. I hated Ben Stiller's character. And then the third time watching it, I was not fussed with either of them. Maybe I'll go and watch back again and see if I've gone full circle.
See what happens. That's a really tough one. I don't circle back to Tomb. Like,
are you scared that that's the reason? Like, is that the reason you're scared that you're going to suddenly hate something?
Because I find, like, my first thought is Hackers. But I watch that again now, and that is Lawnmower Man.
Really?
There's my answer. It took me a while to get there, but back in the day, 92, I think that came out. Yes. That was revolutionary. The computer graphics, the ideas, what everything they were throwing out there. I rewatched that maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and the effects are awful. Like, it makes remember that song, "Here's Johnny"?
Yes.
Bam, bam, bam. Oh. It makes that video clip look space edge.
That was horrible back then.
Yep. I mean, this was pre-Terminator 2, so they hadn't even come up with the idea of liquid metal. So it was groundbreaking, but oh my God, it's awful. Pierce Brosnan is hamming it up.
Do you know which one I thought was going to be horrible? Is Pierce Brosnan in this one or not? Sandra Bullock's The Net. I thought rewatching it was going to be deplorable.
Oh, they've taken my identity.
Yeah. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
I think you would go in with the right frame of mind that it's not going to be space age.
Yeah, it's the same way you got to watch Hackers of like, oh, isn't this nice? They didn't understand technology yet.
That's a good question.
Thanks, Dimitri.
This is an easy one from Damien.
Yeah.
Is pineapple okay on a pizza?
Nope.
I don't mind. If it's Hawaiian.
Do you call it Hawaiian or ham and pineapple? Because that very much will...
I don't know.
I have a friend who used to work in a pizza shop.
Yeah.
And he said you could tell where people came from by whether they would order a Hawaiian pizza or a ham and pineapple.
Why?
Because people in Queensland insist it's called ham and pineapple.
I wonder if in Hawaii they even have Hawaiian pizzas.
Well, I don't know if it's that. I think it's because, I want to say, Eagle Boys started in Brisbane or somewhere there. One particular pizza company has done that and insisted it's called ham pineapple, and that's what stuck.
That's hilarious.
I think that's what's happened. But yeah, over in Hawaii, I believe Hawaiian pizza is just called pizza. Swiss cheese in Switzerland.
It's probably got spam in
it. Cheese.
Yeah, just holy cheese.
You know, so I'm going over for Comic-Con and I'm going to stop in Hawaii on the way back and I'm missing out on the spam festival. I'm pretty disappointed.
Well, I mean, that is disappointing, but would you be able to do some research with this pineapple pizza thing?
No.
Okay. Even just look at a recipe?
I'll look.
Oh, a menu, I mean?
I'll look.
Okay, just look. That's
fine. I'll check that. I'm not eating any.
Oh, no.
Give me a Dole Whip. I love pineapple by itself.
But you're not going to be a part of...
Pineapple, for me, does not go with hot.
Yeah,
pineapple
that's fair
enough.
Pineapple
is a cool, refreshing...
Yeah, I understand
that. I don't
like
that. It with
hot. All right, Damien, I hope that has opened up a can of worms.
Good one.
It was always going to. Tessa, oh my gosh, okay, you ready? Favourite Tom Cruise film, go.
Tropic Thunder.
Oh, the only one I thought in my head was Far and Away.
Far and Away, wow, we both went deep
cuts. It's not even my favourite.
I think Tropic Thunder because he's in the fat suit dancing.
I like the dancing. Yeah. And I like how obnoxiously rude he is.
Oh, yeah, swears to everyone. Yeah. The you fucking guy. Yeah.
Watched that recently again and it's still very funny.
It holds up so well. Robert Downey Jr. on some other level. He's
doing acting that you would never expect in that movie.
But he's playing Russell Crowe where Russell Crowe is playing Tobey Maguire.
Yes.
There's like so many. It's amazing.
It's a phenomenal movie.
Jack Black, that's one of his best roles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Again, layers going on.
And like you said, Tom Cruise, it's amazing. It's nothing like you would. It's Steve Coogan. No other movie.
Steve Coogan. He's the director.
Someone else is in that. Matthew McConaughey.
Yep.
I was the agent. You saw my brain trying to tick over then.
Danny McBride is the demolitions expert. Oh. Nick Nolte is the war veteran. There's a lot of great people in that. Bill Hader. Yeah.
Worth another watch. Mm. All right. Final question for today. Sue, when Game of Thrones ends, what will we all do with ourselves? What am I going to predict? I've gotten heavily into predicting and coming up with theories and reading other ridiculous Game of Thrones theories. I don't know what I'll do. I'll probably go back and read the prequel book. What was it called? Blood and Fire or something like that. It's about Targaryens. Mm. I'll probably do that. And then by then, maybe the prequels will be a thing and I'll watch those and then my interest will peter out as the years go on.
Yeah. When it ends, I'm happy to put a pin in. It'll be something else along. And if there's not, we get a little bit of downtime until the next thing we obsess over.
I don't have that much downtime because I know The Handmaids is coming out really soon.
So you've got that. There's so much coming up that's awesome. We've got backlogs. We've got continuing shows. I've got a stack of comics.
We're going to need to have a break from all of the watching to do more watching. It's exhausting.
Well, I will go over. I will go to Comic Con and I will find out what is our next obsession. Oh. So there you go. There's the promise I'm making to you, Sue.
There you go.
Is I will come back with the answer for you because they're going to show off the stuff there. I have a feeling The Boys could be a contender for you.
I really like the sound of that one. And also, you'll be finding the answer out for Damien about the Hawaiian pizza.
Yep. I'm hoping to find out a little bit more about Watchmen because I think that has the potential to be another huge mystery show, Damon Lindelof.
And I'm also hoping that you come back with one that we've never heard of before.
Oh, so do I.
And you go,
guys, check out this show I found on the back of the couch.
Yes, amazing. All right, that is the end of that episode. Oh, it's the end of this episode. But before we do completely finish it, we need to remind you that if you are a Game of Thrones fan, do download and listen to our weekly Game of Thrones specials. We're up to episode 4 and we have PK on this week, so it was really good. If you haven't already listened to it, do that and subscribe. And look, leave a like or a rating on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Yeah, go and help us out.
Because I see them every now and then and I go, oh.
We appreciate them very, very much.
There's a new one.
Honestly, if even 5 to 10 people jump on in the same week and leave us a 5-word review each on iTunes, you probably get us featured on the new shows section.
And I know we're not new.
We're not new, but.
But iTunes doesn't get that. So
it's new reviews based.
Dare you to do that, and we'll thank you profusely. Tom, thank you very much.
Please don't lick the glass. It disturbs the animals.